Welcome back to the Mobile Home Investing Lessons podcast with your host, John Fedro. Tune in weekly. Plus, listen to past episodes designed to make you money, save you time, and give you confidence as an active mobile home investor. Now, here's your host, John Fedro.
Thank you for tuning in, everyone. This is John Fedro with the Mobile Home Investing Lessons podcast. I am joined here today with Ryan. Thank you for being here, Ryan.
Oh, thanks for having me, John.
Heck
yeah.
Good
to be chatting with you.
Are you kidding me? This is incredible. I mean, you are an active mobile home investor, buying and selling mobile homes. I love your very first deal. So cool how you got into it. I mean, you just pulled the trigger, you know, jumped into it, ended up being, we'll talk about it. But let's talk about that. In this podcast, we are going to be talking about first deals. So that's perfect. That'll be a good way for, you know, you to kind of introduce yourself to folks for when hopefully you come back for later podcasts. And also we can talk about the numbers and, you know, what was working and what wasn't working. So please, without any further ado, Ryan, tell us about that first deal, kind of what you were thinking about. And we'll just kind of go from there. I'll ask you a number of questions as well.
Okay. So I guess let me start by telling you a little bit about my experience. I've been studying about mobile home studying about real estate investing for quite a long time. You know, didn't really pull the trigger until a couple of years ago. I had my first deal, which was a regular block home deal, you know, made quite a bit of money on that. Took a break for a while, and then decided to. I've always been interested in mobile home investing. Read, you know, the Lonnie Scruggs books. And so I do have a lot of knowledge, but I have kind of limited experience. And I was at the point that I really wanted to, you know, was real anxious to get back in to investing in mobile homes, you know, for many reasons it seemed like a great thing to get into. You know, I decided I was going to get back into it. You know, set a day every Friday I was going to work on it. I arranged my work schedule so that I didn't have to work on Fridays. But I was pretty rusty, so I was kind of just wasn't sure what I was doing. Was looking on Craigslist for, you know, a while, probably, you know, a day or two. I think, honestly, 2 or 3 weeks went by where I was kind of spinning my wheels. But then I found a good-looking deal on Craigslist. It was in a – there's a couple pros and cons to the deal. It was listed pretty low. I think they were asking, I don't know, $8,000 for it. I can't really remember. But I think I texted them and got in a conversation with them. The home was – a couple of the negative things about the home. It was in a 55 and over park. It was about 2 hours from my house.
If you could describe the condition of the home, because this home was,
sure. I wasn't sure if it was a good idea to buy a home 2 hours away, but you know, I was real motivated to get another deal under my belt. So went up there, I talked to the owner. The owner actually lived an hour away from me. And then if you go 2 hours, then that's where the home was located. She had it rented out. So I, you know, made an appointment with the renters, went and checked it out. The home was gorgeous, and it's probably in the most beautiful park I've seen. It's a 55 and over park, but it has beautiful lakes all over the place. It's just, you know, really beautiful mobile home park. Home's in amazing condition, and I think at this point I had negotiated them down to like $4,000 or $5,000. So, you know, I decided to buy the home. I eventually got them down to $3,000. That's what I ended up buying it for. But one thing I'd like to mention is, you know, just mobile home values are so weird. They're all over the place. You know, you'll see, you know, one mobile home park where they're selling for like $100,000, and then another one, you know, then you might get one for free. I just had a, you know, I had a good feeling that this is, you know, I'm going to buy this beautiful home for $3,000. Like, how can I go wrong?
Now, at this point, we were not working together, right?
Right, correct. Yeah.
Okay.
I I have, you know, I've learned from a couple really good mentors through the years. I have another mentor who also invests, you know, does mobile home investing, and he's awesome. but when I decided to join your program because you're really, I see you as the specialist in mobile homes, and you're just awesome. So wanted to work with you. What was your question again?
Oh, just the fact I was kind of pointing out that we weren't working together. Like you had the courage and the confidence and just the, you know, I'm going to do this one way or another. You know, other people have done it. No reason I can't do it. You got into this absolutely gorgeous home. I'd love to put pictures up if you don't mind. On the webpage here. And because I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, if I had to live in a mobile home, I mean, I would live in this home. It's very good looking.
Yeah. So, very nice home.
Cut you off. Yeah. Go right ahead.
So, yeah. So it's a 2-bedroom, 2-bath home, you know, gorgeous. So I wasn't working with John at this point. I was, but I felt pretty confident that this was a good deal. So, one tricky thing about it was I'm not 55, I'm in my mid 30s. So, I questioned, should I try to get someone who's 55 to go, try to get approved with me. But basically what I decided to do with this deal was, which I wouldn't recommend. I may or may not do it in the future, but I'm just not sure if it's a good idea. But I bought the home without getting approved by the management company. I did call them and verified, I talked to the property manager, verified how much is, you know, that nothing else was owed on the home. I made sure a lot rent was current. But beyond that, I haven't talked to them at all. So I ended up, I met with the seller, got them to sign the title. Another thing that was good that I did was when I talked to the seller originally, they said, we're renting the home out, so we can't sell it right now. The renters are set to move out in 2 months, so we can sell it to them. But I said, what if I just buy it from you now and the renters can just start paying rent to me? And I, you know, try to make it very simple for them in explaining it to them, you know, so that it doesn't sound like it's a big deal, and it isn't a big deal. I bought the home, I got the title, I talked to the renter, said, I'm going to be taking payments now. It was a little bit complicated to just explain that, you know, they wanted to make sure everything was kosher with the sellers, but that all worked out fine. The renters continued to stay in the home for 2 more months, they paid me rent. Then they ended up moving out, and then I had to, kind of sucked that it was 2 hours away. I had to go up there, put a bunch of signs out, do Craigslist marketing. But I got it sold pretty quick. I ended up selling it I bought it for $3,000. Just to be safe, I wasn't sure, how much I'd be able to get for it, still being new and not knowing the market that well. So I might have been able to get a little bit more for it, but I ended up selling it for $9,900 and I'm collecting payments over 24 months. Now, that was earlier this year, probably about, 6 or 7 months ago when I bought that home. And it just so happens the buyer was wanting to pay it off quickly. So he almost has the whole home paid off at this point. I think he has maybe one or two more payments, which is great. What else would you like to know?
Well, that's huge right there. I got a few questions for you already.
Sure.
And then the folks that you, I guess let's kind of work backwards here since we're talking about the buyer who went into the home. So this is a senior park. You are not a senior, obviously. But you did get into the park, you purchased the home, and then you resold it to this guy. When you resold it, did you charge any interest?
I did not charge interest on this one. Okay. That was your recommendation. Happy I did that. Just being my second deal ever, my first deal in a long time, I just wanted to get the deal done and make sure, I made a profit on it. It was easy to sell. So yeah, I just had zero interest on that one. I'm getting $330 a month for, you know, well, I'm supposed to be getting $330 a month for 24 months, because he's paying quite a bit extra. And I got $2,000 down for that one. So I bought it for $3,000, sold it with $2,000 down. So, you know, I'm only out of pocket at the beginning about $1,000, which is excellent.
Excellent.
I think another thing that was kind of tricky. Go ahead.
No. What was tricky?
Is that, you know, I had to. I'm not sure if I had to do this, but what I ended up doing was I explained to my buyer that I didn't get approved by the park. You know, well, I take that back. I actually did mention it to the park when I first called them. What if I did this? And they didn't seem to object to it too much. So I definitely didn't get their official approval, but I got someone kind of gave me the nod that it might be okay. So anyway, when I'm selling it, I explained that to my buyer, and basically he was perfectly fine with kind of working with me on it. He, you know, we met, we did all the closing paperwork. I still have the title. I haven't transferred it to him. The agreement that I had with him was that he would have to go and get approved, that he's renting the home. So he went to the property manager, said he's going to be renting, got approved. And at this point he almost has it paid off. I still haven't transferred title to him, but that should happen, you know, in the next month or two, when he gets it paid off.
Understood.
So
I think it's,
so I'm not sure. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You're not sure?
I'm not sure that I'd recommend somebody doing that, going behind the property manager's back. Because, you know, you could have other potential issues. Like I had to have a buyer who understood my situation and was willing to work with me on that. You know, otherwise I probably would have had to go and, you know, face the property manager, say, I already bought the home, you know, I'm not 55, and just worked it out from there. But it worked out really smoothly.
Was your main apprehension because you aren't a senior citizen?
Yeah, I mean, who knows what they would have said? They, you know, if they would have known that I bought the home, they could have said, "Well, you're not allowed to. We're going to evict you, or we're going to evict." You know,
sure.
They could have done whatever they wanted.
So most parks. So now, let's kind of go back to the beginning a little bit. The folks listening to us. Excuse me. The folks listening to us, that is not the accurate procedure that you want to do. Park managers want to know who's going to be buying inside of their park. If you purchase a home first and then go into the park manager's office, you can claim ignorance. You know, oh, I'm sorry, I just didn't know how this worked. Can I get approved now? But if you're trying to kind of what you were doing, Ryan, where you were kind of like tiptoeing around getting approved and then it got back to them, like a tenant buyer was walking through the home and they were saying, you know, then they went to the park manager and, oh, Ryan's great and Ryan's this and he was so helpful. And then the park manager's like, wait, who's Ryan? Wait, what home were you at? And then they might get kind of, I guess, you know, just offended or butthurt that you didn't come up to them first or you were trying to do this behind their back. So the procedure for just folks listening, and even in senior parks for sure. Now, senior parks, if you talk to 100 of them, if you're not a senior citizen, some of them right off the board will say, no, I'm sorry, you just can't invest in here because you're not a senior citizen. But some of the parks, depending if they have a park manager, if there's a committee, if there's something else that approves you, some parks might need help. They might be in kind of a slower area. They have a number of vacancies in there. They have a couple homes for sale. They need or want your help no matter what age you are. And if they can logically and clearly understand, you know, Ryan's not going to live here, but I understand what he's doing. You know, he's buying a home, cleaning it up, reselling it, you know, not renting it, but reselling it for cash, for payments. So just the procedure for everyone listening is you would definitely want to get approved. And even in senior parks, don't be afraid, because some of them are going to say no to you more than family parks will, simply because of your age. But that's okay. And even in senior parks, Ryan, when you purchased this one, you didn't get any special – you didn't get any discounted lot rent because you were purchasing it from a seller, right?
Yeah, like I said, I didn't talk to – I talked to the – property manager very little. I mean, they still don't even know, you know, what I did or how I'm in the deal, right? So
when you were selling the home, did you talk to the park manager to find out their, like, approval process? Because obviously when we're talking to potential callers that come in that want to buy the home, we don't want to waste their time, you know. Hey, you have a DUI. Okay, well, you probably shouldn't even be here. You got a big dog. Oh, you probably shouldn't even waste your time. So you did that. Did you call up the park manager, kind of pretending you were a buyer or a civilian wanting to buy in there?
I did do that. I was like, I'm looking for a home for my mom. Can you please tell me about the park? But I can't quite remember. I did get a sense of their approval process, but one thing that I had to do was, you know, another kind of danger in what I did was, what if I sold the home, you know, to my buyer and then he didn't get approved? That could have, you know, been a snag. But I had a lot of confidence that he makes a lot of money. He needed it as a second home.
You were worried about that because he was in the home before he got approved?
Yes. Let me think. Yeah, he was in the home before he got approved. I closed with him, and it was funny how it worked out because he actually lives in my town. So thankfully, I didn't have to drive up there, you know, again. But it was really convenient. We closed at Starbucks right down the street from my house. He uses the home, you know, because he works up there and he needs this couple times a week. So basically, he had a good income, and I had a good, you know, I was pretty confident that he was going to get approved. That's how it worked out.
Excellent. So you did. I just want everyone to listen to how unorthodox this deal really is. You did so many, I'm not going to say wrong things because they weren't wrong, just so many kind of riskier things, you know, versus like from what experience would teach. So you invested in a senior park, great home, good price. I mean, solid home, solid price. Definitely you got in right there. It's a senior park. It was a two bedroom or a three bedroom?
It's a two.
Yeah. You didn't get approved by the park. When you were reselling it, how long did it take to get somebody in there after the tenants left?
Definitely within 2 months. It might have been a month.
Okay, so you got him in. He was in the home, and then he got him. So how did that even happen? That he was in the home before you? Because, you know, normally it's, you know, you see the home, you like it.
Yeah.
Next step, go get approved.
Yeah.
But you kind of skipped that. How did that?
It's coming back to me now. when he was interested in buying the home, he went and applied. But they, for some reason, I might have bad luck with this, but seems like the parks I work with take a long time to approve a person. So their approval process was like 3 weeks or 4 weeks or something ridiculous. So he hadn't gotten approved yet. But he had already turned in his application. So he was, you know, so that's where I was. He had turned in an application. I was confident that he was going to get approved. I closed with him, and then, you know, later on he sent me, you know, a thing verifying that he was approved.
And the park managers must have known that he was there, right? Or did they just simply not know?
They thought he was just going to be renting. Yeah. I don't think they knew that he moved in.
Okay. But ultimately, it all worked out. I mean, the home's still there. The park's getting all their lot rent. You got a good person in the home. I would like to kind of talk about the price and the terms that you sold it for. Typically, you will not, and this might be because it's a senior park, although I think senior buyers are just as flaky as, you know, 20, 30-year-olds. Like, it's, you know, you kind of grow up to be like a flaky or senior citizen. So what I'm saying is, it's really not common. The whole point of that was that it's not common for people to pay off the home early, you know, to pay you, you know, extra $300 extra a month to pay it off early, especially when you're not charging any interest. I mean, it doesn't really make any sense for him to pay off early.
Exactly, yeah.
But a couple things, you know, he's probably under the mindset of, you know, I just don't want to owe anybody, so I have the money, I want to pay it off as quickly as possible. Secondly, the price that you sold it for, basically $10,000, do you think, and you know that your area way better than me, if you had this home on the market and, well, let me just say that park approval processes, for everyone listening, should not take 4 weeks, like under a week, most parks for sure. But Ryan, when you were selling this home, you sold it for 10. It was your first deal. You weren't, there was some question mark of, you know, what to sell this for, how much to sell it for. Do you think if you had waited on the market, you changed the terms around, that you could have sold this one for a higher price, maybe $20,000 or what? Or what do you think?
Definitely not 20. I don't know the market that well because it's actually quite different away. I'm still trying to figure out mobile home values. I mean, the park had a couple for sale. The park was selling with financing, I think, you know, in the $10,000 to $15,000 range. So that was kind of my marker, my indicator of where to try to sell. So, but I'm thinking it was probably, you know, it was in good enough condition that it probably could have sold for $15,000. Yeah, it probably could have, but who knows? I mean, you know, maybe the park has a couple. I know that the park had at least two or three. There were one or two like right across the street that the park was selling. So who knows? I mean, they were selling for $12,000, $13,000. It could have been in equally good condition. So I just don't know.
Understood. I think that the buyer, they can tell when the deal is very much in their favor or not. I mean, we are offering payments anyway, which is just a huge value add and is going to be attractive to a lot of people. But then you add on the fact that this guy, he was normally supposed to pay you off in 2 years for a gorgeous home. You can't even buy a car in 2 years. So for him to normally pay you, you know, what he was agreed to, 2 years, you know, it was just such a good deal that, again, that doesn't happen often. People that are listening, mobile home buyers, when they purchase your home on payments, they will tell you a lot. Well, maybe not a lot, but they will mention, you know, oh, I'll pay you during tax time. I'll give you more money. Or I plan to have this thing paid off in a year or 2 years. And it just doesn't happen. Usually they make the minimum payment. We kind of sink back into that regular life and regular payments. But you just made a really good deal for this guy. He obviously had the money. And it was win-win. I mean, you made a ton of risky decisions, but your very first deal made a good profit. And then that opened your eyes to mobile homes, and now you're continuing to do more and more. So
definitely.
Quickly, things that you would maybe like one or two kind of like high watermarks of what you would duplicate or what you wouldn't include in the next deal, like things that you've learned during this deal.
What? I think the moral of this story is just to take action. You know, I did quite a bit of things wrong, but it felt amazing that I got one deal done. You know, you just got to get over that hump. I think things that I would do differently. I don't think I'd buy another home two hours away. Well, if it was a good deal, I would. I mean, I don't know. I think it's probably a good idea to try to work as close to where you live as possible.
Sure.
I know that your kind of general rule is not more than an hour away. I think that's a good rule. So that's a good lesson I learned. I mean, you know, you learn so much on your first deal like that. So
Right.
A lot of stuff with the paperwork, all that kind of stuff. I think just taking action is the main lesson to learn from it.
Perfect. Ryan, thank you so much again for just opening up your heart and business and your books and kind of telling us what was good, what was bad, and awesome that this was, again, you're just your first deal. It was profitable and well done. I mean, you're here to invest some more. So again, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, John. Happy to be here.
The ideas and advice given in today's episode are for entertainment purposes only. If you have future ideas or questions for upcoming episodes, please email us at support@mobilehomeinvesting.net. If you've enjoyed this podcast episode, the biggest compliment you can give is to like and share this podcast with your friends.